Well, good evening to everybody. How you doing on your daily Bible reading? All of you who are closer, reasonably so, signify. Oh, that's wonderful. Stick with it. Stick with it. We're doing great. And nothing but good things can come out of reading through the Bible in a year's time. Years ago, long time ago, longer than I care to think about in most cases, before I started hounding Connie to go out with me on a date, I tried to make a living selling encyclopedias. And folks, I was awful. I was terrible at selling encyclopedias. And I guess there's probably a reason for that. I didn't like doing it. And the boss didn't like the way I did it, or didn't do it. There was a whole lot about selling encyclopedias I didn't like. One thing, we were told to lie from the very beginning. We're supposed to go up and knock on somebody's door, and don't ring the doorbell because knocking is more urgent. So knock on the door, and then when they come to the door, you tell them that you're taking a survey on education. We weren't taking a survey on nothing. We were trying to sell encyclopedias. So I was told to lie from the very beginning, and I didn't really like that. I thought that was just a bad way to begin. I didn't like cold door knocking. Go up and knock on somebody's door. Don't have any idea who's behind the door. Don't know how big that dog is. You know, you don't know anything about what's going on. I didn't like that. Didn't like the cold door knocking. Didn't like doing a memorized sales pitch. We had a briefcase full of junk that we're supposed to schlep around and open up and lay out charts and graphs and samples and all this stuff, and I had this memorized sales pitch. The problem with doing a memorized sales pitch, of course, is if anybody asks you a question, it blows your sales pitch. I mean, you know, you've lost your place and you have to start over. Rarely do they have patience for you to do that, to start over. So I didn't like doing it, and I didn't last very long. And the boss was okay with that, with me not lasting very long. He thought I was awful, too. And anyway, as I think about that whole experience, and it was just terrible, but as I think about the whole experience, it reminds me why a lot of Christians don't like to talk about evangelism. Because they think that the things that I didn't like, many of the things that I didn't like about selling encyclopedias are the same things that a lot of people don't like about evangelism. They don't like the cold door knocking. Again, you have no idea what's behind that door. They don't like the cold door knocking. They don't like to think that they've got to have some memorized pitch where they can walk up and lay out some course of study or something. And if somebody asks them a question, then they're going to be baffled. They don't like that idea. Well, the problem with all of that is that really isn't biblical evangelism. That's what I call American evangelism. That's our technique for doing that. But it's not really what we see in the pages of Scriptures. In the New Testament, evangelism is just bound up with evangelism is telling the story of Jesus, and that is bound up with us telling our own story of conversion to Christ. And that's exactly what we saw Paul do in Acts chapter 26. Go ahead and turn with me to Acts chapter 26. We're going to look at Paul telling his story tonight. Paul loves to tell his story. He told his story in chapter 9. We got his story in chapter 24. We got his story in chapter 26. We get his story again. He tells his story to the Romans. He told his story to the Philippians. He just loves told the story to the Corinthians. He just loves telling his story. He enjoyed letting people know where he came from and so on. In Acts chapter 26, we finished the whole book of Acts. If you're current on your daily Bible reading, you already knew that. And here Paul is on trial before Agrippa, and he makes his defense just by telling his story. And we've already heard his story, but he loves to tell a story. Now, 4 weeks ago, if you can remember back that long, 4 weeks ago, we talked about Paul's experience of conversion from chapter 9. And there's a little bit more that Paul tells us in this rendering of the story. But we weren't really focused on Paul telling his story 4 weeks ago. 4 weeks ago, we were really focused on the shock that happens when you're confronted with reality that you didn't expect. And you've got to deal with something that you weren't looking for. So here, we're just going to listen to Paul tell his story and take some pointers about how to tell our story, too. Let's go ahead and go into chapter 26 and just kind of look over Paul's shoulder as he tells somebody about Jesus in his own life. And we're going to see how that works. I was going to start with verse 4, but let's start with verse 1. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "You have permission to speak for yourself." So Paul motioned with his hand and began his defense. "King Agrippa, I consider myself fortunate to stand before you today as I make my defense against all the accusations of the Jews, and especially so because you are well acquainted with all the Jewish customs and controversies. Therefore, I beg you to listen to me patiently." Isn't that interesting? That's kind of cute. Paul starts that out by saying, "Oh, you know all this stuff, and you know all the Jewish customs and all their controversies." Because the Jews had an awful lot of them. And Agrippa knew all about it. And so immediately he's already thinking, okay, so you're telling me this is about some controversy, okay? Beginning in verse 4, Paul starts with his own background. And that's where we really start telling our story. We start with our background. What was I like before? Where do I come from? What kind of people am I? Verse 4, he says, "The Jews all know the way I have lived ever since I was a child, from the beginning of my life in my own country and also in Jerusalem. They've known me for a long time and can testify, if they're willing, that according to the strictest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now it is because of my hope in what God has promised our fathers that I'm on trial today. This is the promise our 12 tribes are hoping to see fulfilled as they earnestly serve God day and night, O King. It is because of this hope that the Jews are accusing me. Why should any of you consider it incredible that God raises the dead?" Why should you think it incredible? Paul's background was very highly respected, and if you stopped any of the people who knew him, he grew up over in Tarsus in Cilicia, but then at a fairly young age, he went down to Jerusalem and was further educated there. And all the Jews knew him. He was their poster child. You know, he was the number one example of what it meant to be a Hebrew kid getting a good education. They all knew him. Came from a good family. His family were Roman citizens to start with, but also they were Hebrews of Hebrews. He was a Jew of Jewish background. They were very proud of that Palestinian heritage. Good family, good education, good tradition. And conservative, wow. His religious upbringing was extremely conservative. This was solid, right down the middle Orthodox Judaism. I'm telling you, these people would really have enjoyed the background that Paul has. Oh, his faith in God was beyond doubt. No one would seriously question this man's faith in God. Everything about his background, it comes from the right family, comes from a great education, comes from a great part of the world. Just everything about the guy was sterling. He had great credentials. Well, I don't know. I don't know what your background is. My background is not that sterling. It's just not that great, to tell you the truth. But you have a story to tell, don't you? You've got a family, and you've got family tradition. You've got education. You've got experience, too. And you can talk about who you are and where you come from and what kind of folks you are descended from. And you have a religious background, too. You have a religious understanding. And I don't know what that is, but it's not a bad thing. Someone taught you something about Jesus. Someone taught you something about God, and it helped you to be who you are and all that you know and do. And none of that's a bad thing. Sometimes we look out at wrong biblical ideas, and we think that our former background was just all bad. Well, it wasn't all bad. There was a lot that was good. And one thing good about it, somewhere, somehow, somebody taught us to respect God and have faith in Him. Somebody taught us that. Boy, that is the number one lesson of life, isn't it? To respect God and have faith in Him. Everything else will develop quite naturally from that. So when we start to tell our story, let's just start with our own background. I have a story to tell. You do too. and you've got a story that talks about your family background and your religious traditions and your religious understanding and your education and experience and everything that you've been that has helped to make you who you are. And that's where Paul started by telling his story. And the story is not hard to remember, is it? It's not like a canned sales pitch where someone asks you a question, gets you off topic, and you've got to start all over again. Well, you can tell yours. It's your story. It's your experience. You can tell about it. No problem. That's what Paul was doing. And then Paul goes on to tell about his actions. Because of my experience, because of my background, here's the way I live, and here's what I did. Let's start reading again, beginning in verse 9. He says, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that's just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison, and when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them many a time. I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. Now, whatever else you could say about Paul's actions, you'd have to say this man was zealous. And he had a plan, and he knew what he was trying to accomplish. He's zealous about serving God, and he thought he was absolutely right. And consequently, he acted terribly. I don't know how anybody could get the impression that it is the right thing to do to persecute and hound people. But Paul was convinced he was right. And he was convinced that this whole situation was terribly dangerous and it had to be stamped out. And if it took force, it took force. That's just too bad. I do know that the most vicious people in the world, the most brutal characters of history, have all thought they were doing the right thing. Whether you want to talk about Saddam Hussein, you want to talk about Pol Pot in Cambodia, you want to talk about the worst totalitarian dictators you can think of, every one of them thinks or thought that they were doing the right thing. That's exactly what needed to be done. And that's where Paul was too. Well, our actions show our faith. Our actions show what we really believe about God. And we can't really hide that. What we do shows what we actually believe about God. And good or bad, this illustrates what we were. You know, not everything that Paul did was evil. I'm sure he loved his family. I'm sure he honored his parents, respected his teachers, model citizen, kept all the laws. We look back at our lives and we see some good things that we've done, and we also see some terrible mistakes that we've made. And when we can point those out and say, I thought I was doing the right thing, but this was wrong, terribly, terribly wrong, we can't be seen as boasting about that. You know, sometimes you get people that start talking about crazy, wild things that they've done, and they act like it was funny and just a good time of their lives, and they seem to be boasting about that. And we can never fall into that trap. Those things that we did that were wrong, and there's no way around that. But the reality is, our lives just paralleled other people's lives. We're all about alike, aren't we? We do about the same kinds of things, and we think about the same kinds of ways, and we tried to do some things and do it the right way, and it all turned out wrong. As we tell our story, we can tell our background, but we also have to tell our actions. What were we? What were we like? And Paul would talk about his actions. He was never proud of what he'd done. He never boasted about that. But then once we've told about our actions, then we can begin to tell about our conversion. And that's where Paul gets on to starting in verse 12. And that's really where he wanted to go. All that other stuff was just background so that we could get on to the good stuff, the conversion story. So we start in verse 12. He says, on one of these journeys I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Then I asked, Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I'm sending you to them to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. Boy, Paul's conversion was dramatic, wasn't it? He's on his way to Damascus and he has this light shine around him and he hears a voice. My, oh my. And plainly it changed his life. I want you to think about this. Think about this with me just for a minute. Suppose you are in Agrippa's chair and you're trying to make sense out of the story and the guy starts off and he tells you about his family background and his education, his training. And he tells you about how widely respected he was. And he tells you about his former actions in persecuting these people. And then he begins telling you about visions and voices that he's hearing and nobody else is. Visions and voices? You know, sometimes I think we look at a conversion like Paul's and we think, man, I wish something like that had happened to me. Do you really? Do you want to go around for the rest of your life telling people that you saw a vision and heard voices that no one else heard? That would be a little hard to believe and tough for a lot of folks to swallow. But that's Paul's story. And so he tells about visions and voices. And I'm sure he knew. You just think about the expression on these people's faces. I'm sure he knew this sounded kooky, more than just a little bit eccentric. But that's his story. And when we start to tell about our conversion, this is our opportunity to tell about the gospel of Jesus Christ. How did you come to know the gospel? How did you come to study the pages of Scripture and understand who Jesus is and what He's done? How did you come to know all that? How did you grow in your understanding about Jesus? When did you become convinced that some things that you thought before weren't really right? And when you looked in the Bible, you saw that it was something entirely different. When did that all happen for you? We get to tell about the moment of our obedience. We get to tell about, you know, for many of us, that moment was when we stepped out of the pew. Preacher's up there and he's going on and on. It didn't really matter what he was saying because we'd already made up our minds we're going to be baptized. And so he issues the invitation and the song leader stands up and he begins to lead the song. And we stepped out of that pew and walk down to the front, and we knew the whole time we're walking down the front, everybody is staring at us. You know, they're looking at us. But there's a moment, see, when we had to say, I want to be a Christian. There's a moment when we had to say, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and I'm willing to obey Him in every way. I'm willing to repent of sin, start doing the right thing in my life instead of the wrong thing. In all of that, there's a moment when we are, by the grace of God, saved from our sins. And we get to tell that story. You know, conversion, we talk about people's conversion. The whole word conversion, it just means change. There's a change that took place within us. When did that start? When did that change take place? Well, we get to tell our story. Well, here's my background, here's what I was, here's how I acted because of that background, because of my thinking, but there was a moment where everything changed. And something happened to you to cause you to turn around, and everything is different after that. Start reading with me in verse 19. In verse 19, Paul starts talking about everything that's changed. This is how everything went different for him. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. First, to those in Damascus, then to those in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and to the Gentiles also, I preached that they should repent and turn to God and prove their repentance by their deeds. That is why the Jews seized me in the temple courts and tried to kill me. But I've had God's help to this very day, and so I stand here and testify to small and great alike. I'm saying nothing beyond what the prophets and Moses said would happen, that the Christ would suffer, and as the first to rise from the dead, would proclaim light to his own people and to the Gentiles. Paul's change really was complete, wasn't it? I mean, there was a time in his life when he ran around crying, Jesus is dangerous! Jesus is dangerous! He's dangerous to our nation! He's dangerous to our people! He's dangerous to our lives! Jesus is dangerous! And now he's running around yelling, Jesus is salvation! Jesus is the Savior! Instead of persecuting Jews, he's even running around telling Gentiles about this. Yeah, going all over the Mediterranean world, telling everybody who will listen, and many who wouldn't listen. But Jesus is salvation. The one thing that is undeniable about Paul is he is as zealous as he ever was. That sure hasn't changed in Paul. He is very zealous for God. Well, this is our story too. We get to tell what changed. We get to tell how we changed. And we can tell what stopped in our lives. And what started in our lives? You know, when you become a Christian, there are some behavioral changes that just have to take place. And it's true of all of us. We just have to stop doing some things that we were doing before. And we have to start doing some things that we didn't do before. And this is our opportunity to tell this story. Well, this is what stopped and this is what started as a result of that. And we can tell about all new interests that we have. Never used to care very much about world missions. Didn't bother me very much to think about people in far-flung countries that didn't have what we have, and particularly didn't have the gospel message. But now, you know, I'm kind of interested in that. In years past, I didn't much care about the Bible. I wasn't interested in reading or studying it. And now I find it absolutely fascinating. I have a whole new interest in this. You know, in years past, I wasn't very compassionate with people. I figured if people were poor or down and out, that's the way they live because that's the way they like it. If they didn't like it, they'd change it. But now, you know, I think differently about that. And I have some compassion for people. Sometimes they're caught up in circumstances that are far beyond their ability to deal with. All new, some things have changed. But my natural talents and abilities haven't changed. Whatever I was able to do before, I'm still able to do. It just takes a different direction now as I follow the Lord Jesus Christ. The point to all of this is really simple. You have a story to tell. We all have a story to tell. I have a story to tell. You have a story to tell. And we should take some time to think about our story and to refine it and maybe sit down and write it out. Did you ever do this just as kind of a spiritual exercise? Just sit down one time and kind of tell your story the way Paul tells his story. What was your background? Where are you from? What are your people like? What's your background? What's your upbringing, your education, religious understanding, and so on? What did you do as a result of that? How did you live? What changed? When did you decide to become a Christian? And then what changed in you after becoming a Christian? What did you stop doing? What did you start doing? Where are you now in your spiritual life? You ever do this? Once you do that, you're able to tell your story over and over and over again. And you can see, as you write it down, think about it, you can see some things. Well, I probably don't need to stress that very much because people don't really care. But this might be really interesting, so you can talk about something else in place. You see how many times Paul told his story? Over and over and over he told his story. He could tell his story anywhere, anytime. Just wake him up out of a sound sleep, Paul could tell the story. He could tell his background. He could tell his conversion story. He could tell all the things that changed. He didn't twist anybody's arm. Didn't lie to anybody, didn't manipulate anybody, didn't threaten them with hell and death. I can't help but think that there's something lacking in an evangelistic approach that starts with us asking a stranger if he's going to go to hell when he dies, or if he's going to go to heaven when he dies. I can't help but think there's something really threatening about that, and we'd be so much better served if we just told our story and helped them see that could be their story too. That's what Paul did. He just told his story, and they got the message. Did you see that they got the message? Paul didn't extend an invitation here. All he did is tell his story. But they got the message. Skip down here to verse 28. Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to become a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." We don't really have to be pushy. We don't have to knock on a stranger's door. Don't have to memorize a sales pitch to be evangelistic. We just have to be prepared to tell our story. Just tell our story, how we became a Christian. Of course, you know, that depends on one little fact. That implies that we've got a story to tell, that we have our own conversion story to tell, that somehow there was a moment when we obeyed the gospel and we said, I want to become a Christian. And if that means I have to step out in the middle of the aisle and walk down to the front, I'm going to do that. Because, look, I'm in this for life. If you're not a Christian this evening, we're going to extend an invitation, give you an opportunity to do that, and make this story your story. This could be the beginning of a whole new story for you. If you're not a Christian, but you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, you believe everything that Paul just said about his story, you understand that Jesus is the Son of God, you're willing to repent of sin, stop doing the wrong thing, start doing the right thing, you're willing to be immersed in water for the forgiveness of your sins, you can start a brand new story here tonight. If you're a Christian, though, you've made the covenant with Christ in the past, but guess what? Not much has changed. There are a whole lot of things that should have stopped, haven't stopped. There are some things that should have started, haven't started. You need to repent and make the story complete. The story's only half told. You need to tell the rest of the story. You need to repent. If you need to respond to Jesus' invitation, we urge you to do it right now while we stand together and sing a song.